You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now bring you the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will, a practical and fun approach to understanding, developing, and applying the truths contained in the gift of living in the divine will.
And thank you, Radio Maria. I want to thank God above all for this opportunity, and welcome to the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will. I'm Peter DePalm, and I'm joined by Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will that come to us live via live stream from Italy. So we are indeed so blessed, so grateful to have awakened today, both physically as well as spiritually, and truly blessed to be alive at this time and on this day, this September 14th, the Feast of the Exaltation of the Cross. I mean, how blessed are we to visit this feast day once again? And we are going to begin, as we always do, with prayer, and our prayer is going to be a supplication, and this supplication is beautiful. It's taken from the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom, Day 31. It's the Virgin Mary's Assumption into Heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. My dear Heavenly Mother, I am back in your maternal arms, and as I look at you, a sweet smile appears on your purest lips. Today you are rejoicing, and it seems as if you wish to confide something yet more surprising to me, your child. O Holy Mother, I entreat you to touch my mind and purify my heart with your maternal hands so that I may understand your holy lessons and put them into practice. This we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So once again, I love when Louisa again supplicates our Blessed Mother, and has that phrase. You have something surprising to divulge to me, to share with me, and this is one of the things perhaps our other Christian brothers and sisters have difficulty with. Our mother's not speaking on behalf of herself at any particular time. She's always representing her Son. She's the ultimate ambassador of Christ. Mother of God, Mother of the Church, Mother of the Priesthood, Mother of the Queen of the Divine Will. She's everything that the Church is. In fact, our Catechism teaches us in Article 507 that Mary is the greatest example and model of our Holy Catholic Church. So what can we do not but to emulate, again, this greatest model, this greatest example of our Church, constantly leading us back to our Blessed Lord. Mother, sisters, great feast day. Blessed to be alive, blessed to be together today. And again, having this opportunity on Blessed Radio Maria. Hello, Mother Gabriel Maria and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will.
Hello. And you're talking about Our Lady tomorrow. It's our sorrowful mother of the feast. We celebrate her tomorrow.
September's so a great time. Month for Our Lady. I mean, I know May is the, but September's a great month for Our Lady.
September, lots of feast days. Yeah, the Holy Name of Mary. Someone had a message one time from Our Lady. Our Lady put the word Mary in the sky, M-A-R-Y, and she told this visionary, she says, that means Mother always remembers you. M-A-R-Y, Mother always remembers you. So always remember that Our Lady remembers you. She never forgets you, you know. Speaking of Our Lady, I wanted to just read a little bit from Father Gobi's writings. Our Lady was saying, you asked me why I've chosen you to spread my movement. That's the movement of the
Marian movement of priests. Yeah.
Marian movement of priests is all MMP. Over the world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. While you feel so inadequate and helpless, we can all identify with that. We always, all of us at moments, feel inadequate and helpless. Rightly do you see your nothingness and your weaknesses. And you ask me, why do you not choose someone more suitable and capable than me? How can you rely on me when you know very well my past infidelities? And we all can identify with that. How many times have we fallen? We've sinned. We've transgressed from what we know God wants us to do. And yet God still wants to use us. And she says, my son, I have chosen you because you are the least apt instrument. Thus, no one will say that this is your work. So anything we do, we know it's not us.
Sounds like us.
Only God can do these things. We can't do them. And the more we know that we can't, the more he can use us to let his own light radiate from us. She says, though you Through your weakness, I will manifest my strength. Through your nothingness, I will manifest my power. She says, what is needed now is much silence and humility, much confidence and prayer. And she says, to accustom yourself to being trampled on, to being put aside, to being neither understood or esteemed. It is necessary that this happen to you, because that's the only way we grow in humility and realize our nothingness, through being put aside, trampled on, mistreated in a sense, you know. And when we realize the hand of God in these moments, when we are being persecuted or mistreated, it doesn't wound us. We get wounded over abuses from other people when we don't look at it the right way. When we look at it as a gift and a grace from God, and a grace to be transformed and become more like him, then you're not wounded by what people do to you. She says, consider yourself as a nothing, truly incapable of anything, because that, O son, is just what you are. But in the measure you offer your utter nothingness to me, I will be able to act and operate according to my plans. Prepare yourself now to also suffer a bit. I want you to be always more and more my own, and soon I will purify you. But this will be in order to give you a greater love than you could ever imagine, O my son. She says, certainly you are small. You do not have great qualities. We can always identify with that too. And you get frightened over nothing. You are almost afraid of your own shadow. And yet I have considered the intensity and the love of your total gift. Your nothingness, which you have offered completely to me, will be transformed and made great by my motherly heart. She goes on to say, oh, do not look at yourself to yourselves any longer. I want even your miseries, your defects, and your failures. Give me everything with great love, and I will transform it all in the burning furnace of the most pure love of my immaculate heart. And she says, to be poor means precisely to possess this nothingness. It is this nothingness which attracts God's pleasure and which is alone capable of receiving it. So we have to realize our nothingness. Pray for the grace to realize your nothingness. And every moment of the day is God's will for you, is permitting or ordaining will. And if you look at it, this is the hand of God for me. God is going to bring a greater good out of this situation, whatever it is, because he loves me and he's promised in the scripture. He says everything works out for good for those who love God. Then you will not be wounded by the situation. You will grow in holiness by the situation. You will be transformed into something greater than what you are, because God will possess your soul more and more as you accept the present moment.
Wow. Our lady wrote the book on tough love. I mean, that's a, but you know, it's interesting too, because, you know, I think it's Father Seltzer who says we must be humiliated to be humbled. And then that's the first step, to knock us off our pedestal, I guess, our ladder. But then the second comes from Jesus, and he says, confidence is the main ingredient in humility. Because when we're confident, when we know something, we don't have to go around proving it. We know that we know that we know. So it's so interesting. It's almost like a paradox. Confidence is what breeds humility. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. But Father Gobi, you know, you mentioned about the Marian movement of priest mother. That's really where my wife and I came from. We started from. And it's really interesting. On our website, queenofthedivinewill.org, we have a page entitled The Gift of Living the Divine Will and the MMP, Father Gobi. We've extracted about 60 of Father's Gobi's locutions from Our Lady that speak about the divine will by name. In fact, one is, I've come only to do the divine will of my Lord. And in fact, again, Our Lady worked on Father Gobi to make sure he possessed that humility to make, I think, the following statement. In 1996, in no other rather place but San Marino, Italy, Father Gobi gave a speech, and he said, the Eucharistic reign of Jesus, the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, the era of peace, all of this, he said, all of this will not occur until everyone is living in the divine will. And then he mentioned Louisa Picaretta by name. He mentioned about reading some of her writings and how consistent it was with the locutions he was receiving for our Blessed Lady. So again, the humility, I think, was so vital, was so necessary for Father Gobi to make that statement. Here he is receiving locutions from Our Lady, but none of this is going to take place. Everything is going to be triggered by something else that's not being given to him. So that takes humility to say, I'm just a pastor. This is just the beginning. This is just a preparation. And again, all roads lead to the divine will, including the MMP. As a matter of fact, Our Lady says, I have come only to bring the world the divine will. It's beautiful.
Yeah, in the Mary Movement of the Priest book, August 15th, I think it's 1990, Father Gobi didn't know anything, I think, at that point about the divine will. And Our Lady gave a message about the divine will and that everyone would be living in the divine will in the future. And she explained that with what that would be like. And August 15th is the day that she gave him that message is the divine will feast, because that's Our Lady was the first to enter heaven, that lived totally in God's divine will. So, you know, that she was assumed into heaven on that day. So that's the feast of the divine will. We consider that the feast of the divine will. Our Lady was actually the third person, because Adam and Eve lived in the divine will until the fall. But Our Lady was the first to enter heaven that lived totally in divine will all her life.
Yeah.
And then Jesus, and then, of course, Louisa was the fifth. So, you know, we have so much to be grateful for, to Our Lady, to Louisa, to our Lord, for giving us this great gift, you know, of the divine will. And later, when Father Gobi found out about the divine will, I remember him giving talks about Louisa and the divine will. Someone told me about it. I never really heard the talk, but they told me he had spoken about Louisa in one of his talks after that. I'm sure he was reading the books.
Yeah, it's actually, if you go to the MMP website, right, plastered on the front page of the website, his talk, his speech from San Marino in 1996, mentioning the divine will, mentioning Louisa by name. But yet, all of this is there, and it's so difficult, and we've had so much difficulty trying to introduce the divine will to those journeying in the Mary Movement of Priests, because again, our human nature, I guess sometimes we're so comfortable in what we're doing. We like the format, we like the way it's structured, and it's hard to break out of that sort of that paradigm shift. And many have not come over. Even though we read everything that Our Lady says about the divine will, read what Father Gobi says, well, no, it's okay. I'm journeying. That's all I want to do is journey in the Mary Movement of Priests. And it's great. But again, all roads lead to the divine will. And I think it takes a lot of discipline. It takes a lot of humility. And it takes a lot of sacrifice to do that, because it comes with a lot of challenges. But something that does not come with any challenges is Sister Francesca. Hello, Sister.
I think all of heaven just laughed at that one. It's funny.
Nonsense.
Yeah, right. It's funny because, you know, what Mother read, you called it tough love, which it definitely is. But that just filled me with so much comfort and consolation.
She beat him up.
It just filled me with so much joy. Like, I love passages like that because. Yeah.
Well, the Gobi was even afraid of the dark, she says, you know, so I mean.
His own shadow, yeah.
His own shadow.
Yeah, well, I mean, a couple of things came to mind. You know, first is, you know, a lot of what seems like heaven's tough love is really them just trying to free us from the pressures that we put on ourselves, that we have to be a certain way and do a certain, you know, do certain things to impress God, to win God's love. And, you know, over and over again, you know, our Lord and our Lady, they tell the mystics some of the, you know, if I could find a littler person than you, I would have used her. If I could have found a more miserable soul than you, I could have used her. And I know that can sometimes sound a little difficult, but it's them freeing us that they know who we are. I was talking about that to somebody today that was struggling with some scrupulosity and perfectionism, which I struggle with as well. And I just feel like over and over again, the Lord keeps telling me, but I knew who I called. Like, I knew who I called. You know, your weaknesses aren't a surprise to me. Your weaknesses don't scandalize me. So it's, we have to come to terms with our littleness. And like you said, Peter, and just throw all of our confidence in that God loves us anyway, and he can use us anyway. And just another funny little story that reminded me when, you know, very holy Father Gobi has all of these weaknesses. A lot of times we think of the saints as like, well, they thought that they were nothing, but, you know, it was really, that was just their humility. They were really these great people. Our Lady herself is telling us that Father Gobi was full of weaknesses. And in one of the Theology of the Body courses that we took with Christopher West, he was talking about St. Paul. You know, St. Paul said he was the worst of all sinners. the worst of all sinners. He goes, that's in the Bible. That's a biblical truth. So he says, if any of you out there think that you're a worse sinner than you're the worst sinner in the world, St. Paul's already got that place. You know, that's a biblical truth of St. Paul. And another part of his letters, he says, I'm the least of all of the saints, the least of all of the faithful. It's a biblical truth. It's in the Bible. You know, we can't doubt it. And look at what God did with St. Paul. So it's like we kind of think that God uses us only because we have these certain qualities or because, you know, we can impress him. But really, it's our littleness. It's our misery that God wants to use to show his greatness. So, you know, for anyone journeying in the divine will that feels like it's kind of too big for them or they're not worthy of it, you know, just remember it's our very littleness that God can use.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I wanted to read a passage from Volume 6, September 17th, 1905. It's about the Feast of Our Lady of Sorrows, which I picked because tomorrow is the Feast of Our Lady of Sorrows. I won't read the whole passage, but basically Jesus tells Louisa how we can participate in all of Our Lady's sorrows. So I'm just going to read a couple of the points that touched my heart. So Jesus tells Louisa, so I'm going to jump around a little bit, just FYI. Everyone can share in the merits and in the goods produced by the sorrows of my mother. The one who in advance places herself in the hands of Providence, offering herself to suffer any kind of pains, miseries, illnesses, calamities, and everything which the Lord shall dispose upon her, comes to participate in the first sorrow of the prophecy of Simeon. The one who feels downhearted, dry, and deprived of my presence, and remains yet firm and faithful to her usual practices, even more she takes the opportunity to love me and to search for me more, without tiring, comes to participate in the merits and goods which my mother acquired when I was lost. The one who in any circumstance she encounters, especially in seeing me gravely offended, despised, trampled upon, tries to repair me, to compassionate me, and to pray for the very ones who offend me. It is as if I encountered in that soul my own mother, who, if she could have done it, would have freed me from my enemies, and she participates in the fourth sorrow. The one who remains in my grace and corresponds to it, giving a place to no one else but me within her heart, it is as if she buried me in the center of her heart, and she participates in the seventh sorrow. So nothing is a loss, you know, everything the Lord can use for his glory and for the good of souls. So in any of our pains, you know, and Mother was talking about before, the times that we're humiliated and put down, so those are some of the most painful pains because our pride is, you know, our pride is very active in our lives. It's very difficult to be stripped of our pride. But even in those very pains, we can unite it to Jesus and participate in Our Lady's first sorrow. You know, when we're in desolation, when we're feeling dry, when prayer doesn't seem to be, you know, consoling or fruitful to us, those are the moments where it's incredibly fruitful, and when you unite it to our Lord and our Lady in her sorrows, and if we continue our prayer life in that way. Also, especially this is the part that particularly touched me. If she could have done it, she would have freed me from my enemies. So especially in those moments, I mean, the world is just a mess right now. We're being surrounded by ways that our Lord is constantly offended, and it kind of can feel like we're so powerless. So sometimes what we end up doing is just being angry and just talking about the problems all the time. And
that's easy. Yeah.
Yeah. It's easy to complain, you know, but you know, there's truth to it. There's a certain amount of, you know, right. What do they call that? Righteous anger. But I think we fall into, I think sometimes just complaining and not doing anything about it. And what can we do about it? We can't physically solve all the world's problems, but we can allow Jesus to, by uniting with Our Lady's sorrow at the foot of the cross, when she probably would have loved to run and pull those nails out of the soldier's hands and yell at everybody around the cross saying, do you know what my son is doing for you? Do you know how much he loves you? But she didn't do that because that wasn't God's will for her to do that. She just stayed at the foot of the cross and united herself with all of her son's sufferings and suffered everything with him, repaired him, consoled him. And I think that's what we're called to do, especially in these times when we're feeling powerless, when just evil seems to be getting worse and worse. Just remain at the foot of the cross with our Blessed Mother, unite our sorrows at what's going on to her sorrows, enter into Jesus's own sufferings and repair him and allow him to transform the world.
She never wavered from her fiat. Yeah. And I think that's the greatest lesson. First of all, we have to give our fiat, and then we have to never move from that fiat. You know, it's like being behind a diesel bus. You know, you're constantly being hit with this soot, but you can't go anywhere because there's cars to your left, cars to your right, so you're going to get sooty. But our Lord tells us in volume one, if we want to be, everyone wants to be beautiful, especially in the eyes of our Lord. He tells us in volume one, our Blessed Lord, quote, "My beloved, you want to be beautiful? The cross will give you the most beautiful features that can possibly be found, both in heaven and on earth. So much so as to enamor God, who contains all beauties within himself," end quote. So we want to be beautiful. Again, you talk about these horrific times we're in right now, which are perhaps going to get worse. God is giving us ample opportunity to embrace crosses. He's giving us crosses at every turn, every time we open our eyes to something new and devastating that's happening or beginning to occur. So again, I think this is the greatest opportunity. We've talked about this with Mother. This is the greatest opportunity to become a saint, number one, to be on God's side, to make a difference. Because, you know, when the room gets darker, as Jesus says, you know, when the world goes in a downward spiral, it's very easy to notice either light or an uptick. And that's what God's waiting. He's waiting for us to continue to be with him. And that, again, that's painful. And people in other countries or other than the United States are finding it very difficult sometimes even to embrace their faith. You know, to clamor and to speak of Jesus sometimes is a death sentence in certain instances. But again, one who gives his life will save his soul if we're called to do that. Mother, we've got about 3 or 4 minutes before break. Any thoughts on what's we've discussed
so far? This is about the divine will rather than Father Gobi. But Father Gobi's writings are so divine will. What Our Lady told him, of course, you know, Our Lady told it to him. That's why it's so divine will, because she lived totally in divine will. It says here, "Your only affection will be mine, that of your mother. And I, as your mother, will bring you to love my son, Jesus, with a total love. I will lead you to such a degree of love that you will not be able to live without me. I will make love for him your life, and he will truly be able to live again in you. My beloved sons," she's talking to all priests, "this is why I need your poverty." And she's not only talking to priests, but us too. She needs our poverty, our humility, and docility. It's like whatever our Lord was telling Luisa, it was for us. Whatever our Lord was, what Our Lady was telling Father Gobi, it's for us. And not just for the priests. I mean, people have benefited so much by reading what Our Lady told Father Gobi, because it's deep spiritual stuff that really transforms your life. She says, "Do not be afraid if the world does not understand you and does not accept you. There's always the heart of the mother, which will be your home and your refuge." So we need to make Our Lady our home and our refuge. In these hard times that are coming, go to Our Lady, go to your mother. She's going to help you. She's going to lead you to her son, Jesus. She's going to be your protectress in these hard times that are coming. She's going to help you to have peace and joy in your heart, no matter what the situation is. So go to Our Lady. Remember, Mary always, Mother always remembers you. Mother always remembers you. And honor her tomorrow on her feast day, Our Lady of Sorrows.
Mother, I want to accentuate a little bit about what you just said there. I think it's very important. I think we're convinced, we recognize that the only refuge, the first and only refuge we need to clamor to desire, is the refuge of the blue mantle of Our Lady. It's not a physical refuge. Now, under the mantle of Our Lady, yes, she may call some to organize and prepare physical refuges. That might be. She might also ask others to prepare food and other essentials. That's fine. But Our Lady is sort of the quarterback. You know, a lineman doesn't go to the line and say, okay, I'm doing this play. No, it's whatever the quarterback calls. She's the quarterback. God has given her that task. So go fly to Our Lady's mantle. That's the most protective place we can be in this turmoil, in this storm. And she will guide us, Mother. I truly believe that. I'd like to read one thing from Volume 1 as we go into the break. Again, one Volume 1, just to remember, has the Church's imprimatur and the Hilopsis in its Italian format. And this is Louisa speaking. Other times I remember that in renewing these crucifixions, my sweet Jesus would say to me, this is Jesus speaking, quote, my beloved, the cross allows one to distinguish the reprobates from the predestined, just as on the day of judgment. The good will rejoice upon seeing the cross. So even now, it can be seen whether one will be saved or one will be lost. End quote. It's all our response to the cross. And God is helping us. He's explaining. He's giving us the answers to the question before the Father of all asks us the question. He's preparing us. I mean, he said he's given us everything. We have everything we need. We finally arrived. We're finally going back to that other side. Finally.
I'm free to dream.
You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now return to the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will.
And thank you, Radio Maria. Thank God again, above all, for this, the School of Mary, and thank Mother Gabriel Maria and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will for their fiat and their unwavering fiat in the midst of all this turmoil. I'd like to begin the second half of this program, before I attend to some business, with a small quote from Volume 6, September 26, 1904. Again, this is how the divine will explicates. It opens up. It explains. It defines everything that's already been given to us. It doesn't add to it. It doesn't subtract from it, but it gives us a better understanding of it. That's the explication. And of course, the mystics do the same thing for a certain period of time. Article 66 and Article 67. So this comes from Volume 6, September 26, 1904. Actually, you know what? I'm going to change things up. I'm going to read from Volume 4, December 25th, 1900, on Christmas. Quote, Jesus speaking, "With the three nails with which they crucified me, I nailed the three powers of those souls who yearn to love me, the intellect, the memory, and the will, keeping them all drawn to myself because sin had rendered them infirm and dispersed from their creator." End quote. Dispersed from their creator. A negative. Couldn't be more negative. But perhaps dispersed from your checking account is a good thing. You need to attend to some business. Please, Radio Maria is a Catholic voice in your home. It's 100% listener supported. So without our support, there is no Radio Maria. Yes, God does provide. He provides through us. And the great news is he knows what we can do and what we cannot do. So he's scanning and he says, okay, he sees all the check. He sees my checking account. He says, oh, you can't give anything. He's saying, but then he notices the one that's got he does have the resources. He does have the resource. Okay, that's who God is asking to give, not for those who cannot, but those who can. And of course, you know, we're not bribing, but you're going to be blessed. Of course, you're going to be blessed. Radio Maria, a Catholic voice in our homes, our cars, and our places of business. Please be generous. Go to radiomaria.us or simply call 888-408-0201. That's 888-408-0201 or radiomaria.us. We're just trying to bring as many gifts as we can to try to encourage donations. We've got a couple on the table right now. Number one, for any donation, any size, please. We will give as a gift a Luisa Picaretta relic prayer card, which includes a piece of Luisa's clothing. And of course, the contact information on the back of the card, whom to call when you experience your miracle. That's number one. Number two, we have an I Am Catholic card with the act of contrition on the back, on the front. Please call a priest in the event of an emergency. It's about the size of a credit card, so it could be carried in a wallet, in a pocketbook, in your pocket. For if and when you ever need that, or someone else does need that. So please be generous if you can. And again, if you cannot give financially, please give spiritually. We can all do that from wherever we are, in whatever condition we're in. It matters not. We're all in a position to give something. So please, if you would. But yeah, that's really interesting. On Christmas, December 25th, 1900. With the three nails which they crucified me, I nailed the three powers of the soul who yearn to love me, the intellect, the memory, and the will. Coming back to this this beautiful feast, the exaltation of the cross, and Jesus explains to us these riches that are in the cross. I'm going to go back to Volume 1, if I may. And again, all of this has the church's approval. So beautiful. So Jesus continues, quote, "Do you want to be filled with immense riches? Not for a short time, but for all of eternity. Well, then the cross will administer to you all kinds of riches, from the tiniest cents, which are the little crosses, up to the greatest amounts, which are the heavier crosses. Yet men are so greedy to earn a temporal penny. They're so greedy to earn a temporal penny, which they soon will have to leave, but do not give a thought to earning one eternal cent. And when I, having compassion for them, in seeing their carelessness for all that regards eternity, kindly offer them the opportunity. Instead of cherishing it, they get angry and often offend me. What human madness. It seems that they understand it upside down. Stop here for a moment. Didn't our Blessed Lady at Fatima say there'll come a time when there'll be a diabolical disorientation where good will be bad, bad will be good. Everything will be upside down, backwards. If you speak the dialogue, balagdat. I'll continue. So our Lord speaking, my beloved, in the cross are all the triumphs. In the cross are all the victories and the greatest gains. You must have no aim other than the cross, and it will be enough for you in everything. Today, I want to make you content. That cross which until now has not been enough to lay you on and crucify you completely is the cross that you have carried up to now. But since I have to crucify you completely, you need new crosses, which I will let descend upon you. So, the cross you have had until now, I will bring to heaven, to show it to the whole celestial court as pledge of your love. And I will make another one descend from heaven, a larger one, to be able to satisfy the ardent desires I have upon you. End quote. So one may say, well, this is not very optimistic because once I get through the crosses that I have currently, God is going to be so happy that he's going to send me worse crosses. I mean, how is that good for me? Well, it's like giving her a fiat. Once we say yes, once we overcome, Jesus says to exercise our virtues. The only way to exercise virtues is to have opportunities in our lives in which to do so. So if I don't have a situation in a parking lot where everyone's yelling and screaming at me and cutting me off and being rude and doing everything wrong per the way society should handle a situation, that's good because it's all a test. Am I going to lose my composure? Am I going to lose my cool? Am I going to start shouting, cursing, carrying on, losing my peace, getting my blood pressure up? Of course not. These are all opportunities to exercise our virtue, our patience, our humility, our confidence in God, our love for those who offend us. I mean, all of this is what we are doing as we journey in this gift along this road that God is. There's only one destination for this road that God has us on. It's heaven. It's heaven for eternity. And that's exactly where he wants us to be. And he's given us the blueprint. He's given us the blueprint in the book of heaven. Wouldn't you say so, Sister Jacinta?
We're back. Oh.
Yes.
Hello. We're back again. We got lost.
I know. You were lost, but you've been found.
I think we're lost again.
But now you're frozen. No, you're back.
We're back again. Okay. Yes. Here's Sister Jacinta. Okay.
Okay. Hello, Sister Jacinta.
Hello. So today we're celebrating the Feast of the Exaltation of the Cross.
We are.
Yeah, so a great book to read on this feast day, and not only on this feast day or on Lent, but on every single day of the Passion, because when for all the sins committed against Jesus, and you're really walking. Yourself, but you're.
Yeah, we're still having some problems. Sisters, Mother, maybe you have to reboot one more time and try it one more time because we're getting cut off a bit. But while Mother and the sisters are rebooting, again, the internet can be a fickle item. Wanted to continue from volume one, which is really interesting. And again, on this Feast of the Exaltation, it's so appropriate. How about this? My son, today is a day of grace. I want you to let her share in all of your pains. There is nothing left but to pierce her heart through with the lance and to renew for her the crown of thorns. It's our lady speaking to her son about crucifying Luisa, about giving her the ultimate cross so that she in return can give the ultimate love to our lady's son. See how it works? It's all in the suffering. It's all on the cross. In fact, Jesus says, I don't have the volume in front of me, but Jesus says that he placed more grace in the cross than he did in the sacraments. Now, I know that's that's probably not what you want to lead off to somebody brand new to the divine will, because being a good Catholic, they may run from you. What do you mean there's more grace in the cross than the sacraments? Well, that's exactly what Jesus says. He says, I placed more grace in the cross than the sacraments. Why? Because more grace was needed. The cross gives us an example to negate, neglect, and withdraw our fiat very easily. But every time we do not do that, it gives us stability. It's as if the cement is hardening even more. And we know when cement has had the proper time to cure and to dry, so to speak, that it's unmovable. It's solid. It's steadfast. It's unwavering. That's what God's doing with us. But right now, our cement is wet. And that means we've got to be very, very careful, because one tilt, we may freeze in a bad position. Just like that iguana I had as a child. Remember, I told you about that story. Poor iguana. I'm a young child. And I think we went away for some time. And the iguana has to stay wet. And I guess the water dried out. And I came home one day and it was out of the little plastic container. And you can't visualize it, but I'm going to show the sisters. He was like this. And he was just like petrified. And I was so distraught as a young boy to see. I thought I killed this iguana. But he needed the water. Just like Jesus telling us right now, we need the cross. And that's why we're in this maze of confusion right now. This is just God organizing this third renewal. He's putting everything into position. But of course, it's contrary to the world, because the world has tried to be for 2,000 years contrary to him. So why wouldn't it be confusing? Why wouldn't it look a bit odd? Because again, it's going against everything the world has taught us. And it takes time. It's like trying to stop a locomotive going 100 miles an hour. You can't do that in 100 yards. It takes a while to slow down. And that's what's happening. God is slowing down this bad inertia, which is drawing us towards sin, toward hell. And once that stops, he's going to start drawing us back. It's like the wave in, the wave out. It's beautiful. And if we visualize it, I think it's even easier. I know it is for me. I'm a visual person. But that's what God's doing with each and every one of us. But yeah, the cross really, well, okay, here, how about this? This is another one. Again, for today, it's so appropriate. Volume 3, April 21st, 1900. Okay, this is Luisa speaking. Quote, as I was in my usual state, or rather with a little bit of concern about something that it is not necessary to say here, my sweet Jesus on coming told me, and there are sacred vessels, and every once in a while it is necessary to dust them off. Your bodies are as many sacred vessels in which I make my dwelling. Therefore, it is necessary that I do some little dusting every now and then. That is, that I visit them with some tribulation, so that I may remain in them with more decorum. Therefore, be calm. So, again, all of this is for our benefit. We talked about our Lady's tough love on Father Gobi. Our Lord has a tough love on us. We must pass the test. Everyone can do it, because again, God said heaven's available to everyone that wants it. The divine will is available to everyone who wants it. It's available in all situations, all conditions, to all souls, unless they don't want it, which I think is incredible. Back to Sister Jacinta. I think we're reconnected.
Yes, praise the Lord. So, so a good book to read every day is The Hours of the Passion, even just a little bit, because with that book, you're making reparation. And every day, you're not only doing it just for yourself, but on behalf of all souls, past, present, and future.
Just think about that for a moment. Just think that for a moment. What we're doing is not just for ourselves. We're doing it for God. And then through the love of God, we're doing it for all souls, past, present, and future. That's charity. That's charity, Jesus says, is the anchor of all the virtues. Without charity, he says, a virtue is a false virtue. It's very, very powerful words. Again, God doesn't mince words. He doesn't, try to smooth stuff over. He's very straightforward, just like Our Lady, very straightforward, very blunt. Thank God, because we want to hear the truth. We must hear the truth. The world is so tired of not hearing the truth. That's why it's so important. So to just send it back to you.
Yeah, so I'm going to read the part from the 18th hour from 10 to 11 a.m., where Jesus takes up the cross and walks toward Calvary, where he is stripped. So the part I'm going to read, it's a little bit of what Jesus said when he embraced the cross. So what Jesus says about the cross is, "In you I concentrate my whole being, in you I place all my children, and you will be their life, their light, defense, custody, and strength. You will assist them in everything, and will bring them gloriously to me in heaven. O cross, pulpit of wisdom, you alone will teach true sanctity. You alone will form the heroes, the athletes, the martyrs, the saints. Beautiful cross, you are my throne, and since I have to leave the earth, you will remain in my place. To you I give all souls as dowry. Keep them, save them, I entrust them to you." So we have to first endure the cross in order to see the glory. So it's like what Christopher West would say. If we're not willing to bear the agony, then that means we're also not willing to if we're not willing to go through the agony, that means we're not going willing to see the ecstasy. So the cross is what will really help us realize our nothingness. And when we suffer, not just by ourselves, but when we suffer with Jesus in the divine will, that has such great power. And the devil wants us to complain about our sufferings, to just not see the infinite value of our sufferings united to Jesus' sufferings. Because once we do that, then we can save a lot of souls, even from damnation, a lot of souls. And that way, a lot of souls will convert, souls that were about to fall into hell, had they died that day. And then a lot of souls from purgatory will also be released when we do it all in the divine will. So it's really important to just see just the grace behind the cross, and not just to stop at the cross and not to complain. Because as human beings, we all have this tendency embedded within our original nature to just complain about our sufferings. But if you just see the hand of God in our sufferings, then we'll really see that God is the divine sculptor sculpting our souls with the chisel of the cross.
Thank you, sister. So in other words, in modern day vernacular, no pain, no gain. It really is. That's what it's like. Hello, Sister Elizabeth. How are you?
Hi, Peter. Hi, I'm great. And it's a beautiful feast day today, Exaltation of the Holy Cross. The priest was just telling a little bit the story at the homily, how the Persians took the cross and take them to Persia, but then the Romans came and rescued the cross in 617, and that's how it's established as the feast, because the cross was finally taken by Christians, if I remember well, just in short. And I was just reading here in the volume 9 from July 4th, 19 and 10. It's amazing how Jesus is saying how in the 3 hours of the agony in the garden, he says, if the agony in the garden was in a special way for the dying, the agony on the cross was for help at the last moment, at the very last breath. They are both agonies, but one is different from the other. The agony in the garden, full of sadnesses, of fears, of anxieties, of frights. The agony on the cross, full of peace, of imperturbable calm. Can you imagine? The agony on the cross is full of peace. Jesus says it himself. And if I cried out, I thirst, it was the insatiable thirst that all might breathe their last in my last breath. And I was just reading also in the passage in volume 35 just today, how Jesus is saying exactly about this. So many souls are not, living at all the life of grace, having so much voice of love for Jesus. But still, how he suffered so much on this 3 hours of the cross. Exactly, for the in a special way for the dying, and he says in this volume, the last moment, the moment of death, is my daily catch. He's saying, so he gave, like, with the cross, he established so many helps exactly for the last moments. Because this is the decisive moment for a soul not to choose hell. And then also, I was reading from the volume 35, March 16, 1938. Jesus is telling to Lisa and to all of us how we can participate in his suffering, in his pains. So Jesus is saying, my daughter, my pains kiss your pains, hug them, and blow over them with their love. They identify your sufferings with mine, giving them a life in my own pains. So your pains receive the same infinite value and the good that mine produce. It's incredible, the same infinite value and the goods, if we do them with Jesus in the divine will. In my will, things, and the pains too, remain changed, and from human things they become divine. I feel that it is not the creature who suffers them, but I myself form and create those pains in order to suffer them within my beloved creature and repeat my life within her along with the course of my sufferings. This is why I call them my pains. If you only knew what I do with these pains, I place them between heaven and earth as perennial glory and love to my celestial Father, as defense and refuge of the creatures, as regret for those who offend me, as a cry of love to those who do not love me, as light for those who do not know me. In sum, I make them do all the offices of good needed for the creatures. Therefore, let me operate. These are works that your Jesus wants to do, and I can do them in the one who lives in my will. In other words, crosses are blessings, so many blessings.
So true, so true. Mother, we've got about 2 minutes. Any closing thoughts?
Yeah, it's just, I started off talking about littleness, humility. It's a passport to enter into the kingdom of grace, humility. And our Lord tells Luisa in volume 4, through humility, by always looking at her nothingness and seeing that she is nothing but dust or wind, the soul will place all of her trust in grace, so much so as to make of it her master. And grace, taking dominion over all of the soul, leads her along the path of all virtues and makes her reach the summit of perfection. So pray for that grace to realize your nothingness. Accept every little cross, like Sister was just talking about the cross. Accept the crosses and everything that happens to you every moment, and you're going to grow in that humility and realize your nothingness, and that's perfect joy. Perfect joy. If you want perfect joy, that's where it's at.
Amen. You heard it from Mother, and I also neglected to say thank you to Sister Elizabeth. Thank you, Sister, for the sharing. You're very kind. We're out of time, unfortunately. I'd like to end with a quote, please, from Volume 14, February 24th, 1922. This will really lift our spirits, I believe. This is our blessed Lord speaking to us. Quote, my daughter, when I received the cross, I looked at it from top to bottom to see the place that each soul would take in my cross. Among so many of them, I looked with more love and I paid a more special attention to those who would be resigned and would live life in my divine will. End quote. It's all here. It's available to everyone unless they don't want it. That's what Jesus says. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to Radio Maria. Thank you, Mother. Thank you, sisters. God willing, we'll see you next week. Love everyone. Please be charitable. Love you. Bye.